Welcome to the Vortex Nation podcast, brought to you by lovers of hunting, shooting, public lands, the Second Amendment, and good food.
What's up, everybody? We've got an interesting podcast topic for you here today. We are joined virtually by Chuck Rossi, like the firearms. We were just explaining that on the computer here, but then in the room, we've got Jimmy on the mic. We got Mark to my left and across the table, Eric Barber. Welcome back. It's been a minute.
It has been a hot minute. Yes.
So, yes.
I was just going to bring that up.
Eric, too long.
It's very fitting that you're on this one as well, obviously, as well as Chuck, which we'll get into, but because you are the social media manager here.
Yep.
And we're actually going to talk about social media a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the topic of, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a bit savvy with social media, and you're probably in or around the hunting and shooting industry. And so, certainly, our industry and social media, at times, seemingly, haven't always gotten along, perhaps.
It can be a complex relationship.
It can be. And, you know, I've seen all kinds of comments out there. You probably have too, listening to this, where people are talking about, you know, Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or whatever, you know, limiting them, taking posts down, doing all kinds of censorship and stuff. And, you know, many people have become frustrated and also not only frustrated by the idea that it could be happening, but also frustrated by the seemingly mysticness of it all. Why does it work? How does it work? Are we being targeted? Is it just a matter of just that's what it happens?
Yep.
So anyways, we'll let Chuck introduce himself here. I don't want to talk too much on the beginning, but one thing we'll just, this is a caveat, you know, we want to throw out,
yeah,
is that we're not here. You guys have to understand, those listening, this isn't, we have to be careful. And I'm sure Chuck can maybe get into that a little bit, but we have to be careful because we don't necessarily want to come on and burn some huge bridge when we ourselves, you know, we communicate with a lot of you via social media. So we don't necessarily want to come on and make this a gigantic social media bashing session.
Yep.
Where we're just trash talking, you know, everybody in the social media world and then putting a gigantic target on our backs. But we do want to try and expose and some of the stuff that's happening, which I think Chuck can do. This seems to be kind of his profession, and maybe explain it a little bit better for everybody out
well,
there. So.
Yeah, and then maybe some ways to navigate, you know, navigate that social landscape with some of the issues or, you know, the subject matter that we deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. Chuck, would you say that's pretty accurate? And then feel free to introduce yourself as well.
Yeah. You've summed things up pretty well. We're you know, the grim reality is we're all in a hard spot. I think every single person listening to this has probably run into some example of this bias and this kind of unfairness and various takedowns that have happened to them personally, or things that they watch, or companies or personalities that they follow. And it's very frustrating. So yeah, we can discuss that. Just sort of some background for people. So I am Chuck Rossi. I'm mainly a tech guy. I've spent 30 years in Silicon Valley working for some of the best, you know, startups that were around. I was an early employee at Silicon Graphics and VMware and Google. And my last gig was an early employee at Facebook. And I was there for 11 years. I was eventually an engineering director in charge of some of our infrastructure, our software infrastructure. But being there so long and kind of being established as the gun guy, quote unquote, at Facebook, which was, you know, and people say, oh, you told people at Facebook you own guns. I'm like, yeah, I kind of lived it loud and proud. I put empty shell casings up on my desk. I had targets, you know, taped to the wall, stuff like that. And I did it in a reasonable way. So never seemed to, you know, people respected me for my technical ability and the job I did. So it was easy to introduce other parts of me because I knew I was a reasonable person and they've worked with me in a professional way.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody freaked out when, you know, they saw a bullet and projectile. I mean, not a loaded ammunition, but a projectile in my desk or an empty case or something. And it was often a point of conversation. And it would inevitably, I think in every 100% of cases, was like a 5-minute or a 10-minute or a 30-minute conversation that always ended with, oh, you have to take me to the range. Right.
That's cool.
That's super cool.
So that was, you know, this is a very leftist world and a very, I'm in the Silicon Valley, you know, super progressive, ultra leftist bubble here. And that permeates into all kind of the businesses out here as well. But that was universal. And this is from very hardcore, you know, blue people who were asking this. So anyway, bottom line is after about 10 years there, the last couple of years, I saw in 2016, we started making some moves at Facebook kind of unilaterally against content on Facebook that was firearms related. And the intent was like, okay, up to that point in 2016, you could pretty much freely buy, sell, trade firearms, ammo, you know, parts, gun parts, stuff, right? In groups and things. And it wasn't clear 100% that what the policy was. And there were even ads. I remember getting ads for like lower receivers in my side ad bar in 2013, nice. Okay. 14, 15. So they, you know, what brought their attention was the press. The press got on their ass and said like, hey, look at this. You can buy guns on Facebook, quote unquote, right? You can buy guns anywhere because it's legal, right? You can buy guns on Facebook. You can buy them on a, you know, in a classified. You can buy them via email. You can buy them via website. So yes, you are allowed to buy guns. Mm-hmm. That freaked out, you know, they get a very biased media, and that can also freak out their kind of people who are aligned with them in politics. And they came after Facebook and said like, hey, look at this. We're going to write all these nasty articles about how you're sowing death and destruction on the internet because you're allowing people to buy guns. So that, you know, they kind of had to react, and they did very ham-handed this, you know, back in 2016, Facebook basically came out with a policy like, okay, starting today, now you buy, sell a gun, your group is gone, your profile is locked. Oof, right.
Wow.
I was like, you know, so they did that, and about, you know, 6,000 groups, about 6,000 to 8,000 groups were taken down that day, and a bunch of profiles were locked, and a bunch of like really punitive action was like rained down from on high. Right. And I saw this, and you might remember some press back in those days when this happened. And I spoke up and wrote this big thing, like, this is a really horrible thing to do to our users. Like, we care about our users and the platform. We just crapped all over them, right? There was no grace period, no time to figure out what to do or how to get in compliance. It was just this big, heavy-handed thing. And it was really ignorant, because the way we did it was like, we banned things that didn't fall into the new policy. Like, the point was to like, okay, you can't buy, sell guns. But we were way too broad because nobody knew what the hell a gun was, literally. I mean, like, I had a hard time finding someone who knew the difference between a shotgun and a rifle, right? And these are in the groups that are implementing things like that. Anyway, so I don't want to keep going here, but that was what got me involved and wrote this big thing and said, like, I want to help fix this. And, you know, Facebook was the type of company that they, you know, Mark or, you know, Zuckerberg and said, you know, yes, you should go fix that. Go take a look. And I spent 2 years with kind of helping the policy and the community operations teams getting a bit more sane as like the SME, the subject matter expert for gun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What we call, it's called safety regulated goods in the industry. So any most major platforms, social platforms will have a regulated goods policy and a regulated goods team. And that includes like CBD, drugs, pharmaceuticals, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, you know, all the fun things are in that.
right. Interesting. I feel like, Eric, you can probably speak to this a little bit. I mean, in peeling back the layers somewhat, you know, for those of you who haven't seen this maybe on your own profiles, but I recall dealing with some people when I was working in social media a lot, you know, where all of a sudden as a, you know, as a business profile that deals in, you know, we dealt in, for example, and Chuck, you can speak to this. Obviously, we're not selling guns at Vortex Optics. You know, we're not selling firearms or anything like that. We're selling something that will go on a firearms or rifle scope or red dot. We also sell many other things that are used in just casual observation, outdoors, birding, whatever. Yep. But we oftentimes got in the mix because some of our content would feature firearms, you know, and so then we get in these conversations and you'd get, let's say you were trying to run, you know, an ad and, you know, everybody out there, hey, I'm sorry, you know, we have run ads before, you know.
Yep.
I know everybody hates ads, right? It's like a swear word when you hear the word ad, but hey, I'm sorry, you know, when you're a business, sometimes you run those things. But
We're sorry you had to find out this way.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you'd try and run something like that, it would get blocked.
Yeah.
Then you'd have this conversation, you'd all of a sudden message in and somebody from Facebook would be talking to you or whatever, and you'd be trying to explain, hey, we don't sell guns. And they'd say, well, you sell things, you know, that go on guns. And it's like, right. We don't sell the guns.
Yeah.
There'd be all these conversations. And Chuck, I mean, to your point, you were talking about over there, you're in the heat of culture where there is just a lot of misunderstandings about firearms, what they are, how they work, what they do, how you get one, all the stuff that goes around them. Very interesting stuff, I thought.
I can't blame them. I mean, if you didn't have any interest in firearms, and all you did just from the ambient information that's out there from the media right now, yeah, you'd be against guns. because like all you get is this complete negativity from a very biased media saying like, anything reported about guns is going to be negative. So how can I possibly have anything but the most negative kind of initial reaction about firearms when all I know is like shootings, murder, mayhem are the only things that I'm going to hear about guns. And like, and I'm already programmed to understand that like the buying and selling of a firearm is inherently a bad thing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's their programming. And that's, you know, so I can't blame the rep who says like, well, it's related to a gun. It's got to be bad.
Right.
So I tried really hard to make a training deck to say like, you're going to see guns and here's the parts of guns and here's like what's an issue and here's not. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing I did was for the advertisers, I made a very clear list of things that are in green and things that are in red as far as what you can advertise, what you can. Have you seen that, Eric?
Yep, absolutely.
So what I did, this is a little secret I'll tell you guys, but
yes,
I basically went, I took the Vortex catalog and I looked through it. I said, okay, all these things are okay.
Because you beautiful. Were,
yes.
You were perfect because it was like optics, range finders, binoculars, you know, various kinds of scopes, hunting competition, whatever. And I said, you know, everything in here is good to go. Right. So like, if you look at the list now, it says like optics and sighting devices and all those are very clearly green. Now you have to age gate them to 18 plus. It's like a concession because again, cover your ass.
Okay.
But if you make that concession of 18 plus only for advertising, that's it. The Vortex catalog is whitelisted in the frickin' list.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that's when you talk to the rep, you got to pull up that page and said, like, look right here, the green dot that says like optics and sighting things. That's us. Okay.
Yep.
And that's your, that's supposed to give you cover. Now, the problem is, and this is goes way beyond just even firearms. This is across the board at places like Facebook. It's not just Facebook I'm complaining about here. In fact, I'm going to make the case, and you can have your readers scream and your viewers scream and tell me I'm wrong. Facebook and Instagram are the best places of all the social platforms to do anything firearm related.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
As bad as it is,
yep.
I believe from my experience looking at YouTube, looking at Twitter.
We definitely need to talk about those other things too, because I've heard actually some pretty horrific things from other places too.
Right. I think Facebook has the most gun, industry positive policies for advertising on Facebook and Instagram.
That's what I was going to ask, Chuck. Is that for the ad component and just posting of, you know, certain content, or is it just the ad side or together?
It's a good question. So what I'm talking about, they very much are divided internally, and that division creates an external division as well. We're talking about ads.
Okay.
That's a whole different division.
Yep.
Then you have content, right?
Sure.
What I try to do is make sure that the content policy is lined up with the ad policy. So that same green list that you see for ads, in theory, you should be able to, as a personal person on your personal profile, you should be able to buy, sell, trade optics, you know, vests, you know, things that aren't gun parts.
Okay. Right.
So that, and again, it's very rocky because in the same problem Eric is having, it's not because the policy is not clear. It's because the training and the people, the contractor system that they use to implement this is garbage.
Yep.
That's the problem.
To your point, I know that a lot of times people will say, you know, oh man, these people are idiots, you know, and first off, and I mean, this is where we get into a little bit of like, I guess us talking about is, hey, let's remember we're all human beings.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yep.
It's hard to call someone an idiot when they just have never been told or taught properly information about something, you know what I mean? And so if you go up to somebody who their entire life, they've never seen, touched, held, shot a gun. And like you said, the only thing they ever heard about was doom and gloom. What else are they supposed to think?
Yeah.
You know? And so if you go out and you just say, you're an idiot, well then, okay, now all you've added to my repertoire of things to base my knowledge and thoughts on guns about is that every time I talk about guns, some person comes up to me and says, I'm an idiot. So,
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, not only are they extremely dangerous and horrible, but the people who use them are jerks.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And I think Chuck made a really great point there. It's not that this person is a bad person or an idiot. It's an exposure, it's an education issue, and exactly what you pointed out, after 10 minutes to a half hour of talking to a person, they start to get a clearer picture. right?
Mm-hmm.
And potentially are brought into the fold of mm-hmm. being a firearms owner or a hunter or,
right.
you know, enthusiast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was a big point I learned at Facebook and actually in the tech industry, because I don't want to pick on just Facebook, but all the tech people I worked with had this experience. And the experience was so powerful of being a reasonable person and talking to people and not getting myself triggered when they say crazy. Well, nobody needs an assault weapon. They're weapons of war or whatever it is, right? And that just like flows over me like water. It's like, don't even get me going. It's not a problem for them to say that. I understand why they yep. say that. And it's completely reasonable. So that was so strong that when I left Facebook, I retired in November 2018. I was a co-founder of a group called Open Source Defense. And open source defense is a way for myself and a handful of other like-minded co-founders to produce a gun rights group that is 100% gun rights and 0% culture war, right? So it's like our point is to keep doing what Mark just said about being able to be welcoming and to take people's questions and to have all their vitriol and all their craziness of that they've heard about guns and listen to it and understand where they're coming from with that and then reasonably come back and say, hey, listen, you know, here's, you know, I understand why you think that way. And here's my view in a reasonable way. And that's been very successful. OSD has a message that is at the right time in the right place. Because, I mean, as you know, a lot of pro-gun organizations come with a lot of baggage. All right. And that baggage is a big turnoff to the millions of new gun owners that just were hatched in these past 4 months.
Sure. Oh, my right? gosh. Yeah.
You guys know. You know the story right now, and when we're talking, when this is going on with between COVID and civil unrest and what have you,
yep.
There's literally millions upon millions of brand new gun owners,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to really go for the message that comes out of the more traditional gun rights groups because it's a lot of baggage that comes with it, and they're frankly never going to do it. So we made this organization to be a place where anybody is. Welcome. Like we're 100, you know, we're total gun nuts. We want to buy machine guns in the mail at one point, right? I mean, that we want to see that future.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, we want to be reasonable and want to say, okay, here's why you can even think that, right? And is it reasonable to think that? And here's why it might be reasonable to think that, right? Mm-hmm. So opensourcedefense.org is where we do that. I would encourage people to go and support us. Just all we need is a newsletter subscription, follow us on social media. We're just getting those numbers up. Got a lot of really good thought pieces on there. We can talk about some of the material there and also how it relates to social. But I wanted to get that out there because Mark's point was excellent that this new approach is exactly what we need. And you guys as marketers in a very popular optics company that has a lifestyle appeal and a lifestyle brand, you have a hard job ahead of you because you got to figure out how to like walk both sides.
Exactly.
Of the aisle, yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I hope you are. I hope you have ideas on how to market to non-traditional areas.
Yep.
Yeah, that's certainly been a big challenging thing to be thinking about and a big sort of looming thing in front of us.
Right.
You know, is understanding that your traditional firearms owner and purchaser and everything like that, that's somebody that that we love as a customer and all that. And so, you know, it's you treat your old friends like gold, you treat your new friends like silver. Hey, both of them are great, but you know, you gotta always stay true to where you came from. But to your point, yeah, a lot of the new firearms owners are coming in from a very different background. You know,
totally.
You might have somebody that's out there at, you know, age 23 going out and buying a gun because their dad or mom or whatever took them out hunting and shooting a lot when they grew up, and you know, their parents' parents took them out hunting and shooting when they grew up. But now you got somebody whose parents never took them out shooting ever. They never actually held a firearm before, but now there's, you know, whatever going on, and they're thinking to themselves, well, hey, there's got to be something to this. I need to defend myself. It's rather interesting how somebody who maybe previously didn't see the use in having a firearm, you know, and saying, oh, well, you know, why would you ever need that? Well, then when something happens, like we've had in the world that just happened, where you have situations that cause a lot of uncertainty and anxiousness and nervousness, people's natural instinct is, and it always has been from the dawn of time, is when there's uncertainty and scariness, I need to be able to defend myself should something go wrong.
Yeah.
And then you have, okay, well, actually, maybe there is something to this firearms thing, you know? But again, you know, to Chuck's point, it's don't berate those people with just like, oh, now you see it, you moron. Like, yeah, you know, it's about time. You know, you got your head out of your butt.
Yep. Right. And it's totally different, like,
flavors of what you're gonna, what's gonna appeal to the new crowd versus the crowd that's been around for forever.
Yeah.
You know, like we've seen this in the hunting world. People get are now getting involved in hunting because they're food motivated, unless you know, motivated on other factors that traditionally have been kind of a recruitment tool.
Right. So it's like everybody used to make fun of because they were like, "Oh, you eat organic, you're just a hippie."
Yeah.
And now, now it's like this big switch. It's like, well, hey, eating organic got a bunch of people into hunting, so is that a bad thing?
Exactly. You know? So so like with that, you can't keep marketing only to the old crowd or only to the new crowd because you're going to silo yourself out.
Yeah,
so
you
like
that.
Walking that fine line of how do you appeal to both sides? And I mean, you know, I'd be curious what you guys think and Chuck, what you think too, but I think a lot of that lies in education, what we're even talking about here in regards to ads and everything like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, what Chuck was talking about earlier, and I mean, I can't believe he was insinuating that open, honest, civil discussion could possibly work, you know, and I think we're talking about, you know, this old crowd and the new crowd. And again, to your point, Eric, or what I think what we're all talking about here, it's an education thing.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, they're actually the same crowd. It's just this group who's been immersed in it. They're familiar with firearms. They're familiar with the culture. They have more education and experience with it. Right.
Yep.
And it's not that these people are idiots. They just need some help, not help, but like, you know,
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
You guys need help. That's not what I'm saying.
No, they need guidance.
Yeah,
guidance. Exactly. That's the word.
Right.
Thank you, Chuck.
And you guys can be, you know, in a marketing way, you can guide them to like, here's why you need a, you know, a vortex scope of this certain characteristics. And here's what we do for you. And here's, you know, got to take it at basic levels. And the way you do this obviously is, the good news is, you know, in the old days when you had kind of broadcast media, you were stuck. You had to save the same message out pretty much everyone. But now we have like super, you know, micro-targeting, right? So you can start targeting ads to those specific, you know, non-traditional demographics that you traditionally didn't go after. But now you should start. Now, here's the challenge, though, is that you got to use all these different ad platforms that are going to have all sorts of safety-regulated goods baloney with them. And you're going to get hung up and they're going to say, oh, you're selling guns or, oh, it's on a gun or whatever. So you're going to have to fight and it's going to be a lot of work.
But
it should be doable. I think most platforms will allow optics for sure. Obviously, Facebook and Instagram, but maybe even YouTube should allow optics for ads.
Yeah, I know. I like there's some stuff with, gosh, there's so many things that I want to go into. I'm so like get amped up about this. I know I remember seeing at some point with YouTube, you know, they were talking about, well, anything that's how to, you know, related, well, that's going to get censored and,
right.
and stuff. And so then all of a sudden it's like, well, we have videos on how to sight in a rifle scope, how to mount a rifle scope, you know, and this is all like we're making the gun shoot better by doing this.
Yep.
So.
The thing that's dangerous with that is you see this talked about a lot. Like people say, oh, well, if YouTube starts banning firearms or banning hunting, we're just going to make our own platform. And now we've just created an echo chamber where now we're not going to reach new people. So that's why like the importance of figuring out these alternative methods.
Yeah, I can't stress enough. Like going off to our own little corner is just
not the answer.
Sentence. Like we got to stay in the public. So I've made this point 1,000 times.
Yep.
And my whole point of being is like we got to stay square center in the public square. And make our voices here. Don't go sulking off on our own corner.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So yeah, it's going to be a challenge.
Exactly.
Just to get on the new shooters thing, just some anecdotal things that are interesting. One of the programs we did at Open Source Defense was office hours. If you work in high tech, or I'm sure you guys, even you probably have office hours, open office hours for like, hey, you want to learn about, you know, scope manufacture? We're going to have open office hours for an hour every Tuesday, and you can come in and watch us, you know, take apart a scope. So we do that in tech all the time. So we did it in Open Source Defense. We said, like, anybody in the world who wants 30 minutes of a Zoom call with me or one of the other co-founders who are all instructors about guns and about buying a gun, the process, or if you already got a gun, you have a million questions. We're here. We'll be your gun buddy. You don't have a gun buddy because you're totally in another circle or nobody's got a gun but you. We'll be your gun buddy. So we stood that up. We had dozens and dozens of people come through and sign up through our website, opensourcedefense.org, office hours, grab a calendar slot, and one of us will come online and Zoom and we'll talk to you, be your gun buddy.
That's super cool.
That's been great. And it's a big, you know, it's a free service completely. We're just volunteering to do it. It works pretty well. And yeah, it's amazing the people that we've had. And then these are interesting kind of stories, but so there's been a handful of African-Americans who came from very blue tribe worlds who absolutely were kind of actually the first three I had were all because of COVID. because they went to the store and there was nothing there. And it's two of the guys, or at least one of the guys was from recently from Central Africa. And he understood, like, okay, when things aren't on shelves, people who don't have things need to get things, and they might get it from you because you have them, right? Not to put too fine a point on it, but that kind of general thinking is not unreasonable, right?
Yep.
So he, you know, he's like, okay, we were never thought it would happen, but I want to be safe and I want to, you know, and so he went and did that. Unfortunately, he was in California and it's been a nightmare here to get, you know, it's all the 20 years of insane laws that have been passed have come back and bit everyone in the butt. And that became very clear, which is actually a good thing because now they see like this is nuts because
I've been wondering what it has to be like over there because, yeah, I mean, you have all these people going out and trying to find some means to defend themselves. And, yeah, if you're in a state like where you guys are, or, you know, some of the other ones out there that are real usually interesting, like I think New Jersey's one of them or New York, you know, or Massachusetts.
Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, you even talked about you're moving, and part of the reason why you're moving right now within the state is actually to try and find yourself in a county that's a little bit more friendly, you know, towards.
Yeah, so the counties here, for example, so one of the biggest wins we've had in the gun world, nobody really realizes this, but we've had huge wins with CCW, right? Concealed carry weapon permits. Now it's like 46 states. When there was like 10, 20 years ago, there were like six that we like shall issue, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a very good cultural win as well as legal win on that front. Didn't reach into California because California still has a discretionary system. And it's up to the sheriff of the county if you are of good need or good character to have a carry permit.
Interesting.
And that is 100% abused. And in fact, there's a huge lawsuit in my county, in Santa Clara County, with the sheriff who's been in power, God, since I moved here, probably 20 years, maybe more.
Well,
and she just doesn't give permits. Unless you look at the permit list of a county of, you know, a million something people, who has the permits? All the people who donate to her campaign, about 20 of them.
Wow.
So in a county of, you know, 20 of a couple million people, there's 30 people who are worthy of a carry permit. And they just all happen to be pretty good friends with the sheriff. It's blatant. And so finally, but who cares, right? It's gun stuff. We're not going to get the outrage that you would get if it was some other, you know, civil liberty that was being squashed.
Yes.
So that's finally coming to light. Maybe she'll pay a price for that. But then other counties in Sacramento and Orange County and a little bit of San Diego County, I believe, the sheriff is like, okay, you show your need, you fill out all this forms, you pay your thing, you take your class. There's a lot of hoops to jump through, but if you jump through the hoops and your background checks out, you get your permit. It's not up to him.
It's not just completely subjective.
Yeah, completely subjective.
And it's insane that if I move literally a foot in one direction to be in one county versus the other county, like, oh, you have no rights here. But if you move, you know, 100 meters over here, you're good to go. That's nuts.
That is.
You know?
What a wild concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It is. You know, and as much as I talk about the great state of Washington, which I still am super fond of from a landscape perspective, I always caveat it. But, you know, and you probably are more familiar with this. I've been removed from it, and you're closer to it than I am now, Chuck. But, you know, over the years, their gun laws seem to have gotten, you know, increasingly more restrictive. And I was talking to a buddy of mine who owns a gun shop, and it's kind of that exact scenario that you were talking about. A person who probably their thoughts and feelings, you know, surrounding firearms were kind of built by the narrative that, you know, most commonly gets painted, a negative perception around firearms, all of a sudden wants to go purchase a firearm. And he said he had many people come to the store and say, I need a gun. And he's like, okay, well, you're going to have to wait. And they go, well, why do I have to wait? I'm not a criminal. And he's like, you know, he's like, and again,
everybody goes through this.
And so everybody goes through this. And again, it's a point of education of just the process. Right,
yep.
that there is a process in place, as well as maybe some of these processes that are in place.
Yeah,
maybe
what do you think about them
maybe
now?
Maybe they're not the right process
to
be in
place. What
do
you think about them now when you need them? Right.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we get back to social media stuff for sure. But
I know, right?
I think all good points, but they're all revolving around this education aspect.
Yep.
But one thing that I was thinking, so going back, and I know, Chuck, one thing that you've done is because of your background, you've been able to help out some folks in our industry.
Yeah, us included.
Us included, dealing with just kind of, at times, the education piece, right? So somebody that happened to be monitoring your account or whatever felt that something that you posted was, you know, against their code or whatever, and you know, so then you wind up with issues, and so then there's that conversation. And like you said, to your point, I mean, fighting, the word fight is used to like, oh, you got to fight for your right, you know, and it's, we're not necessarily coming, you know, to blows with these people, but yeah, again, it's you have to work.
Yeah, and from our standpoint, it's a business case. We're trying to grow our business and reach customers.
And so, you know, the nice thing is for us, and so we're kind of sitting here pretty, right? So, like, there's a big, nice thing in the green section that says optics, right? But there are a lot of people in our industry, obviously, who sell firearms, and they have platforms of their own on social media that are dedicated to their product that they make and that they sell. So I've been curious, so Chuck, how does that work for those guys? You know, ammunition, firearms, you know, rifles, pistols, all that kind of thing. What's it like for them dealing with that?
Yeah, it's more than that. It's also non-serialized parts. So stocks.
Oh,
grips,
even that.
Yeah, anything that is basically a gun part, triggers, all those guys are basically in the regulated goods category. You guys got a special carve out. You're welcome. So
thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
I did also get flashlights a carve out. So weapon mounted lights are carved out as green.
Okay.
If you want to start selling those, go ahead.
All right.
But that leaves a vast majority, you know, a vast swath of destruction behind it, because there's all sorts of gun manufacturers, parts manufacturers, non-serialized parts manufacturers. There's guys who do great business. They don't sell a single FFL regulated part, but they can 100% not advertise.
Yeah,
on Facebook, Instagram, or anywhere for that matter. So that's a huge problem. So what they have left is they can still do content, organic content.
Okay.
And again, this is where I'll say Facebook is in its current currently is in a better platform. Is if you're a gun store, you're a gun shop, you're a gun manufacturer, a parts manufacturer, you can have a Facebook business page. Okay. On that business page, you can absolutely post guns for sale. You can post prices, you can post inventory, you can post, you know, when you're going to have a blowout or whatever it is. You can't boost it, you can't run ads for it, but you can organically post stuff for sale and what you do and stuff about your business.
Okay.
Yeah. In your experience, what are some of the best practices for that organic content? Like, are you seeing maybe links that go back to articles as a successful tactic, or like live videos that discuss this? Or
Now we can get into all the organic and the algorithms, right, and stuff. How you can try and take advantage. There's so many strange theories out there. Everybody's got their own little secret recipe, or little juju magic they put on.
Like, one that I've always heard is, like, you know, live content lends itself well to the algorithms, which is something that we've dabbled in. We've had good luck with it.
Yeah, but we've also had bad luck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, why I bring that up. That's also selfish.
Everybody's like,
for
my job. I have right. Everybody's always like, oh, I got the answers. Do it this way. And then you try it and you're like, it didn't work.
Right, right.
So that is definitely the multi-billion-dollar question right there. And again, not just our industry, but all industries are dying to know what this is. And I got to tell you, even when I was in Facebook, there were precious few people who understood. I think the beast was so big that you could not simply have a formula. It changes. It's dynamic. It is. I mean, I don't know if you guys are tech guys, but I wish someday I could go on a podcast and explain the depth of complexity that goes into something like Facebook. I mean, 2.4 billion people around the world using a system completely in real time, like within milliseconds of things happening back and forth, and just billions upon billions of pieces of content per day. How do you manage that? How do you, like, there's 5,000 pieces of content for just, you know, an average Facebook user with a couple hundred friends, probably, and a couple, you know, some likes of different things, companies and things, easily gets 5,000 possible things they could see a day.
Wow.
Right. So it's really complex, and there is no simple, there's certainly ways to optimize. I can tell you the general rules, and you hit on a couple of them. You said live, for example, sometimes gets better reach. And the reason that's not because it's live, it's because it's a new product feature. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime a platform makes a new product feature, be it live, be it stories, be it, you know, whatever else comes down the
pipe. IGTV.
Yep. IGTV was another good example. You jump on that.
Yeah.
Because that company is going to friggin' signal boost that thing, you know, eight ways to Sunday, because it wants that new product launch to be, that new surface to be successful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So jump on whatever dopey thing, you know, you might think this is the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But get on any new thing that is offered.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the first thing. The other thing is obviously quality.
Yep.
Oh, man.
And there is the issue of a lot of people complain, like, well, my stuff's not getting views. And I look, as well, your stuff is crap. And that's why it's not.
Hey, Chuck said it, not us.
Yeah.
I didn't say about, you know, I'm saying in general, not naming any names. You guys were great. I don't know what you mentioned. Maybe you could talk about, I don't know how much secret sauce you want to give away, but like Jimmy, I think it was you, Jimmy. I forget, but someone was doing that dopey thing with the toaster oven, right? When that first started.
Yes.
Was that you?
Yeah. The pizza oven.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. And,
yeah, get it right.
Like that was people like, I think that was compelling, right? I think organically that probably got good traction, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's actually pretty surprising. And I know actually when we first did it, it started out, to give a brief history on the pizza oven. This is, I feel so silly every time I talk about it, but to start it out, Instagram stories. So to your point, Chuck, Instagram stories were a new thing back, I don't know how long, a couple years ago. And we decided that this was something in the marketing and social media department. We said, okay, there's this new thing. Let's hop on it. Let's make sure that we carve out our little section within this Instagram story. We want to have people going to Vortex Optics for their Instagram stories, you know. And nobody knew how to use it yet. Everybody was like, well, what? I don't get it. It's like 15 seconds. It goes, I mean, for those who probably did, you know, Snapchat or something before, they kind of got it a little bit.
Yeah.
And actually, I listened to the Business Wars, you know, on Facebook versus Snapchat. And that's an interesting story. But anyways, we're jumping on this thing. Nobody knew what to put on there. And it was like, do you put product specific stuff? And I was like, no, I think honestly, this is something where people want to just see dumb stuff around the office.
Yeah.
And so one time I was in there and I had hot dogs for lunch and I brought them refrigerated. And I was like, I don't want to microwave these things. I'll stick them in this pizza oven and it'll heat them up better. And then so got the pizza oven hot and I was like, you know what? This seems like something perfect for those like Instagram stories, stupid things, you know, right? So Instagram story, put a hot dog in the pizza oven. And then it was like, we got like five responses. Like, oh my gosh, you put a hot dog in a pizza oven. And then, so it was like, it got more responses than we gotten in a long time or anything else. So I was like, I don't know, next time I bring a Reuben sandwich, I'll throw that in the, because I wanted to toast it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, throw that. Look, a Reuben sandwich in the pizza oven. And then everybody's like, are you ever going to cook pizza in it? You know?
Yeah.
And yada, yada. And so we get all these responses and it was funny because most of the responses that we got were from people who we totally caught them off guard in the middle of their day and they sent us something and then we responded back and then they were like, oh, well, while I've got you here, why don't we talk about optics? And then you'd end up in a conversation about rifle scopes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, anyway, it's all morphed from there and now we do like, you know, there's gourmet stuff that goes in there. We just did spam sushi, you know, all
which
that
was
stuff.
Unbelievable.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's a great thing. So the great point of that is that you did something novel and entertaining, and that got organic reach, mm-hmm. right? And you used a new part of the platform to do it. So that was a perfect storm of like what to do. So that's the greatest, you know, that's a great example of what to do. It's harder to do that day to day, week to week, but that's your mindset. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's across, again, any industry. There's too much content to show to people. The magic viral organic bit, how that gets flipped, nobody really knows. I talked to other guys from other companies and you know, some of the companies I talked to, I've done podcasts with or talked behind the scenes or at SHOT Show, they tell me like they have big production value. I mean, you know, some of the guys in the industry have these amazing production houses and they were like, I don't understand it. We did this multi, you know, $1,000 big shoot
we're
production
shooting
thing.
6K like, red cameras.
Right.
We have drones.
Exactly.
We got
aerial stuff.
Oh,
and
stuff's
blowing up.
We got AC-130s shooting out of the sky.
Right. And they get like 6,000 views and they show like some guy like scratching his ear while he's cleaning his rifle or something. And it's like, oh yeah, that got like 100,000. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not clear. Nobody knows the secret. So that's on the kind of the good side that is mostly like, it's not specific to us and just got to work at it. The downside is there is absolutely suppression, to some degree happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's basically two, you know, to my understanding, this is, you know, you can't take this as law. It changes. It's kind of subtle sometimes, but I've seen at least my experience has seen at least two kinds of suppression. On Instagram, there was a concerted effort about a year ago to completely downrank gun stuff.
Yep.
I remember
100%.
That.
Everyone saw it. Yeah. I've seen
weird.
It.
It was
seen,
eerie.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like off a cliff.
Yeah.
And there's a competitor of you guys. I know you know where they are and they keep very good stats.
Yep.
Of how everyone in the optic space is doing. And they showed me a thing of like Vortex and XYZ brand and all you guys. And they lined up and like, all you guys just basically got demolished.
Like on the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was also the same day they took all gun content off the Explore page. So if you go to the little magnifying glass on Instagram, used to be I would see, you know, all sorts of funny gun stuff or gun companies and whatever. Now all I see is TNA. It's like there's nothing, but maybe that's a reflection of my feed. I hope not. But it's just like, just cool.
That's also what we see.
I just got the acronym. Yes. TNA. Yeah.
I just got it too.
Yeah. What the heck is with that? All I ever search is cars. And then it's just like, you go into search and it's like, what?
I got to put my mind in the Wisconsin mindset here. You guys are much more wholesome than I'm used to. So maybe the TNA thing didn't come across there.
No, I thought it meant what it meant. And then I was just like, well, I got to figure out what the acronym stands for. And then I was like, oh, nope, yep.
Got it.
It means exactly what we've seen.
And it's exactly what's in our Explore page.
Yeah, there's no guns in our Explore page. What the heck?
Yeah, it's demolished.
I still don't get it.
You're not? Okay.
I'm just kidding. All right.
So that was a big hit, and that is very deliberate. And so there's like this organic suppression. And then, you know, if you do run afoul of some other God knows what algorithm in Instagram, you will get reduced visibility.
Yep.
Either permanently or for temporary. And there's no notification of that. It's just a bit. I've seen it in the console, in the administration console for accounts. And there's a bit flipped, like reduced visibility, which means you're not going to show up in search, or you're not going to show up as easily, your stuff's suppressed. So that's another kind of thing you're going to have to deal with, but you never know really if it's on or not.
Yeah. And we felt that loud and clear on Facebook a few months ago. Remember when our Facebook got locked out? The Vortex Facebook page was gone.
We couldn't even go into it. It was gone.
And that was, it's hard to attribute what exactly it went to. All I know is on that morning we posted a video of Jerry Michalik shooting extremely fast, and like, within minutes, that video was just boom, boom, boom. Like, it was going rampant. People were commenting.
It was doing quite well, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Lots of engagement going on. And then all of a sudden, it was like, we couldn't access Facebook. We're like, oh, what happened? Did we get logged out? Did we get hacked?
It's kind of happened before for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, something's down.
And then all of a sudden, you know, like, it was, we could not access the account, and several days went by. And Chuck, then you finally were, you know, you helped us and played a tremendous role in that.
So, yeah, it took way too long for a major company like that to lose its business presence on the platform.
Unbelievable.
That's outrageous. But yeah, that happened. And then, yeah, you wonder, are there residual effects of that? And it's very possible that it is, that you've kind of been downranked. Because again, on Facebook, there's finer controls in the algorithm of, quote, you know, kind of less desirable content. For example, like with organic content, for a long time, for example, we talked about, about taking advantage of different product features, right? Facebook groups is a really popular, good thing. And groups tend to get better reach organically than certainly pages, certainly business pages. So a really advanced kind of, you know, next level pro move for a company would be have a Facebook group that is actually tied to your Facebook page. You can do that now. So if you go to your Facebook page admin, if you set up a Facebook group like, you know, the Vortex, you know,
Vortex
Club,
Nation,
Vortex Nation Fun Club, and you can attach that to your business page, you can post in that Facebook group as your business entity, okay? So posts won't come from Jimmy or from Eric, they'll come from Vortex.
Okay.
And again, because you're under the corporate banner, you can advertise, if you were a regulated goods company, you could advertise your various gun stuff in that group. And that will get more organic reach than the page, right?
Interesting.
Guys who are trying this is Brunel's, for example, right? So Brunel's has their big Facebook page, but they also started a Facebook group that they're kind of playing with, experimenting with, and seeing what's what. Because I talked to them at SHOT, and we set that up. So it's interesting to see. It's something to play with. See if you get reach. See if you get better organic. You know, you got a new product coming out, like the new, I think, the UH1 I really like.
Yep.
There's something. So when something comes out, you can plop that into the group and organically see what kind of reach you're getting versus your page launch.
Yeah,
cool.
Kind of stuff.
Is that, I'm just trying to picture the reason for, like, I guess that opening up that gate of reach. And is that because it's an extra layer of, like, let's say you like a page, like maybe that's a pretty casual action for a person to take, but for a person to join a group, it's almost like you maybe like a like versus a share versus a this. Like, is it because they're like, okay, this person is a power user, they're hyper engaged, we're certain they want to see this content, we're comfortable letting them see and engage with that content? Or is that
the reason why groups gets kind of special treatment is because if you look at the internally, we look at all this, the ways people in, use Facebook, and groups continually shows to be a very sticky surface, right? So when people get into groups and they like groups, they tend to use the platform more. So that's what Facebook's after, right? It wants to keep your attention. It wants to keep you. That's the objective. That's
keep you on Facebook.
Wrong with that. That's the point, right? So the groups tend to like be very engaging. So because of that, Facebook tries to push groups forward a little bit. So it means a little more representation in feed. And in fact, you'll see suggested groups. When you're in a group, you'll see suggested groups next to it because it wants to keep that group ecosystem kind of, hey, there's other groups that you'll be engaged with. Now, there used to be a lot of gun groups there when I was in looking at various gun groups. And now there's not, right? So again, I know there's algorithms out there kind of classifying things as firearms related and squelching them. It was born out of good intent. Well, I don't know about good intent, but the intent was born, and it was while I was there, there were still a lot of groups buying and selling things illicitly against policy, okay? And we were recommending those groups. So again, the press got hold of this and said like, oh, look, when I'm in this group, I'm being suggested this other group where Maryland buy, sell, trade, you know, AK parts. And they lost their minds and went to Facebook like, oh, you're selling, you know, you're selling guns on the internet again, quote unquote. So there was an effort to kind of squelch like, well, if we see it's a firearms group, maybe we won't suggest it. Okay. Because we're not sure which ones are buy, sell, trade. Now, to be clear, Facebook does a decent job of taking down the buy, sell, trade groups that are trying to go under the radar. They, you should see all the funny. I have a slide deck on this that I gave to the NSSF presentation I did. And it's a funny deck of how people would try to obfuscate the fact that they're selling guns in the group. It's like, oh, I have this book of 365 pages made by SIG, you know, and I've only read 50 pages of the book. Would you like to buy this book for, you know, and just all this nonsense. And it was funny. I have a whole bunch of examples.
Yeah.
You guys
That's pretty funny, actually.
Table for sale, gun included, like stuff like
that. Yeah, there was that. Yeah, there was all this obvious stuff. And the guy taking it down was me for a while. So I'm like, you weren't fooling me.
Yeah.
But I tried to, and I, you know, if people may be angry at me, but I did take down those groups. I took them down personally, many cases. And I wrote the deck to say, like, if they're doing this, they're trying to skirt policy. And so you should take action.
Yep.
But to my defense, I would also say if they're doing this, like showing pictures, like the amazing thing for Facebook groups, there is a Facebook group for every single gun in existence. Okay. If you have like some weird Mauser or some strange 1905 or whatever stupid gun that you have a fetish for, there's at least one Facebook group dedicated with other nutballs who like completely have this fetish for this gun. Right.
Sure.
And there's a lot of pictures and a lot of discussion, and those groups were getting taken down. And I made it very clear, like, no, these are discussion groups for people who have a passion for this one firearm, and they are not, you know, you can watch for buy, sell, trade because that would be a perfect place to do it. But generally, they're pretty good. They want to follow the rules because they want to be on the platform.
Yep.
They want to follow the rules. If you tell the admin, do this, don't do this, they will do it because they get the value of the platform. And that's what Facebook was built for, to give those people value for the passions that they have, right? So people within Facebook should get upset when we take down stuff that people have a passion for and are doing the right thing. And these false positives for taking them down because we don't know what we're doing or they don't know what they're doing is an issue. So there's still that attitude internally. So if you do make a big enough stink, if your group was taken down, you know, people do still care. But it's just hard to get attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, like, man, when it comes to the buy, sell, trade thing, it's like, that's such a difficult position I can imagine you being in. Like you said, you can picture there's probably some people who are mad at you for personally taking down some of those pages, right? Because, like you said, I mean, it's to buy a gun, you can buy a gun via other platforms, you know? Like, I've gone on Arms List, as shady as some of those interactions were. And, you know, I've gotten a few firearms that way, or, you know, you speak with somebody over the phone or over email or whatever. And I guess is the thing just with the fact, you know, when you're on a platform, this social media platform, is it just when it comes down to like taking down that kind of thing, that's just because you're working with something where, what am I trying to say? I know we've been in situations before as a business where you have to think to yourself, you gotta figure out where the pros outweigh the cons. And as much as maybe Facebook and people at Facebook like yourself understand that, you know, is what's happening on here illegal, you also have to understand too, like, do we want a gigantic chunk of people thinking that we are a host for what everybody, again, due to a lot of lack of education, believe is this illicit firearms trade? Like, there's basically gun runners, you know, going on Facebook and, like, just dealing AKs out of their trench coats, you know, and with no, you know, no, whatever the word is, you know,
regard.
No regard, nothing to back it up. No, why can't I think of the word? Like,
validity.
Whatever. I can't remember the word.
We'll go with that.
Yeah,
sure. But, you know, they're just rampantly doing this. So they have to also, as a business, watch their own behinds, you know. Right. And so you're trying to make sure that you don't end up in a gigantic press, you know, media stew.
Right.
So to be clear, I don't want people to feel sorry for Facebook. I mean, they should a little bit, but yeah, the issue is you are worldwide. You're a worldwide platform with 4 billion people in every country and every language on earth. There's only, you know, pretty much one country here, maybe two, where you can do this kind of stuff, like freely, like buy, sell guns. And there would be a way to do it. I worked with the FBI and the NICS system back in the day when I volunteered during the Obama administration to do some digital Peace Corps thing. I can get into that someday. But I worked on NICS 2.0. I did an analysis of the news back in 2013, maybe 2016, the new NICS 2.0 rollout. And I saw the NICS database. I saw how they did what they did. I saw the API so I could interface with it. And yeah, when I got my Facebook, I could write something that would go grab FFL data from the ATF and figure it out and see if you're valid. And there's a way to do it, right? But is it worth it? No. There's like 20,000 FFLs and a few million people, you know, tens of millions or hundreds of millions of people who care about that. And that's out of 100 million or 200 million out of 2.2 billion is like, that's not worth the effort, right? And then to your point, Jimmy, I mean, like, yeah, people were actually selling AKs out of their trench coats. And I saw it firsthand. I mean, and especially in foreign countries, especially in the Middle East, it wasn't a little bit of an arms bazaar. I mean, there was rocket launchers and there was RPGs and there was like just truckloads of AKs and stolen M4s and all sorts of stuff. And I saw them.
Those probably aren't all registered.
The good old days of Facebook.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, I used to buy a whole truck of them back. But do you ever find maybe a slight gear switch here? But do you ever find that with the as going back to the suppression stuff? You ever find like we had that episode back that we described a year or so ago, and we've had kind of another one that happened on our platform. Do you ever find that the industry will follow ebbs and flows where, let's say, after a tragic shooting of sorts, all of a sudden firearms related content is suppressed big time? Is that a thing that happens?
Yes. So that's definitely, I can't stress, like, if there is a mass shooting or something, that is a dangerous time for us as well, because what's going to happen is there's going to be pressure to quote unquote do something. It's going to come down from politicians who have access, you know, direct access to some Facebook principal people who are going to be like, you got to do something, you know? And that, again, there's going to be scrutiny. There's going to be reevaluation of policy. There's going to be possible like suppression for a little while, all that, because, you know, Facebook unfortunately is in a bad spot. They don't necessarily want to do any of that. And I'm pretty sure Mark doesn't want to do any of that. You know, he wants to run the company and make an awesome platform where people can communicate, and he can't, because, you know, we're talking about a tiny sliver of the problems Facebook has right now. You guys read the news about Facebook. They can't turn 2 inches without like, oh, Facebook's doing this. Facebook's destroying society this way. Facebook's destroying society this way.
Yeah. I mean, they're the thing that you said that 2.4 billion people are connected to on a daily basis. So
So it's like always something to complain about. And it gets completely, you know, in my opinion, it's completely overblown, because, you know, I made this point before, but we all know when we read something about guns in the mainstream press, it is cringeworthy. It's the most inaccurate, biased, like sloppy stuff you've ever seen. I've not seen one article in the past 6 years that I could look at and not be enraged about how wrong it was. Right?
AR-16, fully automatic.
Yeah, fully automatic clip, 30 round clip magazine. Yeah, all that. Right.
Spin. assault
so
rifles.
So imagine that in the context of knowing everything about Facebook, right, and how it works, and then reading articles about Facebook about how like election interference and Russia and this and that, and knowing exactly like the whole Russia thing I saw firsthand, and I'm like, this is nothing. I mean, it really is like tens of thousands of dollars affecting nothing. Now, yeah, there's issues with foreign entities messing with the platform, but the effect was nothing like what was reported, right? Hmm. So all that distortion that we're used to with gun stuff is the same distortion that's happening when they report on Facebook or platforms like that, right? So it's really frustrating to see that. But the end result is Facebook gets bullied every time someone on the outside perceives there's a problem. So that's ultimately bad for us because the people doing the bullying are going to be very one directional, one sided, one mind of what needs to be done. Okay. And what needs to be done is they're going to keep pushing Facebook to police the internet. What anyone says, what anyone thinks, what anyone posts, what any advertiser makes, the current climate for the powers that be want Facebook to basically protect us all from anything that could be considered remotely harmful. And that's going to be bad for us. So the reason I make this rant is because people need to understand they don't really want to back that when people say, oh, they have to shut down this and that. Facebook has to, or social media in general has to be in charge of XYZ. They don't want to. 100% they don't want to. They want to do their work and do good engineering and good products. They don't want to be in the business of hiring another 50,000 contractors because literally 30,000 right now, 30, 40,000 contractors work at Facebook moderating content. That is not a good system.
Goodness. Unbelievable.
Right? Holy smokes.
So you don't want to expand that. And that's what the government agencies, the government pressure and political pressure is doing. And that's going to be the death of all of us. So that was a big rant. A lot to take in. But no, that's kind of the current situation. So you got to think about it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And in many ways, too, you know, you got to think about like when we talk about firearms and, you know, there's many a quote that, in essence, says something along the lines of, you know, I would rather have freedom and the ability to defend myself than be completely defenseless, but essentially a slave to the system, right? And so you think about that in a lot of people related to firearms, but also then if you look at just sort of like the content that you consume or the platforms that you go on, it's like you think to yourself, There's some level of needing to have freedom on there instead of just having, well, I'm just going to go on, I'm going to get fed whatever, you know,
right.
Whatever some entity thinks they want me to be fed, you know, and that's.
I mean, you know, it's interesting too, like as much as I or we or whatever, you might disagree with a policy that another business has, right? It is America and it is their business.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, I know that gets brought up, and then you have the counter argument of people saying, "Well, Facebook is almost beyond being a business at this point in time because so many people have access to it." And then if they're suppressing people's First Amendment right, you know,
yeah, that's the interesting part. So obviously, you know, there is no First Amendment on these platforms because these are private things. You're using billions of dollars worth of equipment and infrastructure to put up your cat picture and to put up your pictures of your lunch. And if they decide that you don't want pictures of lunch because of their $1 billion of infrastructure shouldn't be used for that, then that's kind of their prerogative. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say that we have some leverage on, and again, I'm not obviously a big fan of government interaction or government action on things in general, but you can make the case, the business case. And I want you guys in the industry to think about this in terms of maybe some precedent that this has happened. But these things are basically monopolies. They have monopoly power on communication. So YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube basically own communication. They're a monopoly power. You as a business don't have access to the advertising tools, the commerce tools that you need to be a business. That seems like it needs to be rectified. So you you cannot, I've made this point a million times, but you cannot be a business in today's world if you do not have either a Twitter, a YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram account. You tell me what business is going to be successful that has access to none of those.
Right.
Or some subset only. Yep. You can't post a YouTube video ever.
Boutique, cow, massages. No, yes. you're gonna need to advertise that on Facebook. Yeah. Nobody's gonna know about that unless you advertise it on.
Be a hell of a group.
That sounds like sensitive
so,
content.
So being cut out of that, you could make the case that like you suffer damage and you need relief. So that's the tact that certainly for firearms or the firearms industry space. I wish I'm not a legal person. I wish somebody smarter than me could come up with a way to phrase it or to use case law or existing law to say, like, listen, all these things are kind of being violated because these businesses are effectively locked out of a fair environment.
Right. Mm.
So if you got
that's
smart
an
lawyers,
interesting. That's a really interesting point though to make. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, with as many people that are involved with like ads and like reliant upon them, I mean it is a revenue system. Like if you don't have access to that, it's like saying, hey, you have to run this business without a customer care team.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Or like you're talking about the communication side. I mean, like the analogy that I drew in my head, you know, and I think it's great. It's like, oh, you sell guns? You guys don't get access to the telephone.
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's
wait,
exactly
what?
It. Yeah. That would be like, yeah, AT&T, like I'm talking to Jimmy about, hey, you know, I got this new 300, you know, Winchester Short Magnum. You want to buy it or you want to take it out? And all of a sudden the call goes dead, right?
Click. Right.
It's okay, Chuck. I don't want it anyway because it's a 300 WISM.
I read on your Instagram today that a dude said it was his favorite gun.
I actually have that.
Was that dude's name Mboard 20601 or whatever?
That is Remy, who played a tremendous influence on Mark.
Oh, Remy Warren.
Yep, that is Remy.
Let the record show that I selected that cartridge before I even met Remy, but I did take the time to screenshot.
Good Lord.
Remy Warren is now capable of retiring after the enormous lump sum you paid him to post that.
Yeah.
He just knows what he's talking about. Great cartridge choice, Chuck, by the way. We'll just end with that.
Yep. And also an excellent point to make.
Yes.
I was reminded too when we're talking about some of these things, you know, people think of ads, and a lot of times now because you're on social media so much, you think of ads that just sort of pop up in your timeline or your newsfeed. You know, another one, and Google's sort of managed to skirt on the outside of this discussion thus far because we've talked a lot about Facebook and Instagram, but, you know, you have ads on Google and whatnot as well. I was thinking back to, you know, some of those banner ads that you get on certain web pages that pop up sometimes. I was thinking back to a time when our graphic designers were trying to come up with an ad for a new scope that we had, and they were going to have this nice landscaped sort of cross-section of the rifle scope sitting on top of the gun. And actually, I remember them taking this picture because the picture had the top of the receiver of the gun. You could see the Picatinny rail. You could see just the top of the receiver and a section of sort of the hole where the case would be extracted, ejected out of. And you could kind of see where the barrel nut and then the taper of the barrel, and you could see the back of the receiver, maybe like a top section of the bolt. Probably enough that, you know, most people would say, like, okay, I get it, it's a rifle. And then, of course, you see the rifle scope mounted on top. But the primary subject of the image was this rifle scope. You could see every detail about it, right? And that ad was rejected. So the graphic designers go and they crop it up a little bit. So now all you can see, you can't see the opening for the extraction or the ejector or anything like that. You can't see that anymore. You can't see the taper down portion of the barrel anymore, but you can still see the pick rail. You submit that, it got rejected. So then we crop it up a little bit more, and now you can't see the pick rail anymore. All you see is just this floating scope on rings, and then that got accepted.
Approved.
And I remember going back and thinking of that, like, How silly is that, you know? And to somebody, again, maybe without context or the education, I don't know if you needed the pick rail to really know or if you would have still been able to discern it. But now you just see sort of a scope floating in space on, you know, in these rings. And what are these black things sort of like mounted up around it if you're not familiar, you know? And, and that kind of made it also just made the image less impactful. It didn't look as good.
I was going to say, from a marketing perspective, you're crippling the you know, part of marketing is looking cool and being relevant and knowing what you're talking about by maybe showing that this rifle scope goes on this particular firearm,
right?
And you're crippled. You lose all that.
The most hilarious one that I've seen, and this is a very recent one. We have the Vortex Wear, you know, the apparel stuff that we're getting into more and more. And the great thing with that is entirely, you know, like hands off of firearms or even optics. You know, it's it goes on your body. You know, shorts aren't killing people. We'll leave it at that. But anyways, we had this ad go out that said life is too short to wear short or to wear pants, and it was a guy like jumping over a fence and he had a tripod in his hand. It was rejected. And I'm almost wondering, like, if it's because we've kind of had this laundry list of other stuff that's, like, gone on. Like, you just mentioned, like, the Jerry Michalik thing. We're probably under a little bit more of a microscope than your average entity that would maybe be trying to sell that same exact pair of shorts.
Yeah, maybe the shorts were too short.
They were too, fit well.
They were nice. We have good fitting shorts.
Yeah. We have good fitting.
I put some on the other day for the first time. Phenomenal.
Welcome to 2020.
Holy mackerel. I love them. Well, as long as we're, there's a plug for Vortex Wear. That was a legitimate testimonial.
It's a good point, but you should note that a couple things there. So, it could be that your accountant's under scrutiny, but remember, you're under one umbrella. So I get this a lot from gun companies. In fact, I just had a talk yesterday with a gal from one major gun manufacturer, and she's like, hey, I want to have job postings. So we have like openings, we're building guns like crazy. I have like five jobs. I want to run an ad. It goes right to this, like, it's not even to their corporate site. It goes to like a, you know, Workday or a hiring, like lever.com or a hiring site. And she says, I can't run these ads or I'll reject this. It's like machinist or marketing person or whatever, right? Doesn't talk about really anything. And the problem is that you're running those ads under the ad ID of the page.
Yep.
And the page is for a gun manufacturer. So you can't run you can't run for this little Yankee Candle here. You can't run that because it doesn't matter. You are a gun company, you are verboten. Hmm. So the way around that, I did this with Beretta. You make a separate domain and a separate page, separate business page for your lifestyle stuff, right? So there's Beretta gear. Right.
I love it. I'm taking notes right now, Chuck.
BrettaGear.com, where you go and they have all the lifestyle and the clothing and the glasses and all the branding of that. And that's completely different ad ID than the Beretta homepage. Right?
Got it.
Or Beretta USA. So you got to do a little bit of dancing and a little bit more management to make that happen.
That's a pro tip.
That is a pro tip.
I would also recommend, here's another funny one we'll throw out there. So this is an anecdotal story and Chuck, maybe you can talk about the background details that may have happened. I recall a time back in history, we were humming along real good on Facebook. Everything was going great. We posted posts, got a lot of organic reach. We could boost. Things were good. And then we went and we posted a little April Fool's video and it was called The Bullet Cam. And we made a joke essentially, you know, it was April 1st. And we said, hey, we came out with this new bullet utilizing, you know, our optical technology, this, that, the other thing. We put a camera in the nose of a bullet. And so now when you shoot, you can watch your bullet's flight trajectory, you know, and all this stuff. You can go into the app, you can see BC, yada, yada.
Yep.
Well, that video went, what I would call viral. I don't know if in mass terms of just the world if it went viral, but it immediately got, you know, over a million views within.
What year was that?
Oh, 2017.
Oh, 2016. We still get 16? Comments on it.
We still get comments on it.
Perspective.
So, but it blew up. It blew up more than anything we'd ever done before. It was crazy. And the next week, everything was down tremendously. We thought like, oh my gosh, all these people saw this video. We must have all these new followers. Cause I remember you saw the follower tick count just go up and up and up because new people were discovering us and stuff. And boom, like instantly things were just like way down. Hmm. And here to Chuck's point, I'll go back and say, whereas every post we made after that video, like a grand slam post, maybe not. But I definitely felt as though, you know, if you looked and you put a curtain up right where, hey, here's this defining moment, and everything before that, we were posting, you know, like some good stuff, some average stuff. And then after that, we were kind of doing the same. There was definitely a big difference. And I remember thinking to myself, did we all of a sudden move up the ranks where there was some intern sipping his coffee and he was kind of like watching 300,000 different pages, and all of a sudden we were a blip on his radar? Oh my gosh, Houston, we have a problem. Bring this up to the manager. You know, and then he came in, and then there was a new guy, and he was like, get out of my way. This looks serious. They're selling ammunition now that takes videos of, you know, like the target that you're going to shoot at. And then now we have this new, really strict, a police enforcer. I didn't know what happened there, you know, and I didn't know if there was anything, maybe, Chuck, that you, if it was just a coincidence or.
Yeah, I mean, the magic of viral, antiviral, it confounds everyone. I've heard that story before, actually, from other people who had a big hit with something and then just dropped off the earth. So mm-hmm. it could very well be some algorithmic thing that is kind of like tempering you so you don't get too crazy, because you could, in theory, you could artificially, or you could put yourself as a much more prominent feed item as almost like a feedback loop, right? You create this amazing content, it goes viral, but then your other stuff is just crap. But because you had this viral hit, you're automatically pushed forward again. So you have this sure. false virility, right?
Right.
So probably some controls in there. I will tell you though, hurts me to say this, but no one cares about you, Jimmy, about your company, about you. Nobody looked at your stuff. Nobody at Facebook gave one hoot about anything that you do. Okay.
You know, it may pain me, but actually it also kind of feels good.
I was going to say, I find comfort in that.
It's actually is nice to know that nobody's like, oh, man, now you guys had this big post. I'm on your now.
I know it feels like that. Somebody went in and flipped a switch, but you are just the tiniest bit of dust in a windstorm of content.
Well, I'm sure there's so many pages that are way bigger than any of the pages. There's just so many other things that they probably have to even just
because
about.
Of the volume.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
The goal is to never look at an individual piece of content, right, at these mm-hmm. companies. The goal mm-hmm. is to do things in a broad stroke that, because again, our tiny human brains, our little monkey brains can't understand the scale of billions, right? We understand tens, we understand hundreds. But past that, our little brains can't really conceive of, if I told you it was 100 million, or I told you it was 500 million, or 1 billion, or 2 billion, those numbers don't really have a real sense of like, okay, well, how massive is that?
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, they're not dealing with things at an individual level. And again, our little industry of firearms, we've all been at SHOT Show many times. We see that whole thing. We're impressed. We're overwhelmed with how big SHOT Show is and all the things we see. It's nothing. It's like a drop in the ocean. It's an insignificant industry in a worldwide context.
It really is.
And we pay the price, you know, we pay the price for it, because we, even for the billions of dollars that our industry produces and sells and is responsible for the economy, the thousands and thousands of jobs and livelihoods, it still is not really super significant.
We are not what everybody at Facebook and YouTube and Instagram wakes up in the morning thinking about.
Yes, exactly.
Even though we probably feel sometimes like we are.
Yeah.
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 That's exactly it. Yeah.
Interesting.
So I hate to say bad news, but we're not the only industry that has that problem. There's plenty of other. It's a problem. I can tell you honestly, the company doesn't want to be that way, in its purest form of what it wants to do, what the people want to do. They don't want to suppress stuff. They don't want to, you know, be unfair to businesses, but they're just overwhelmed, and it's operating at this scale has never been done. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parts of it are not done well.
Yeah.
And that's where we are.
This has been really interesting stuff, Chuck. It honestly, every time that we've chatted with you, you know, since meeting you, and I'll say this as well. I thought it was really cool meeting Chuck for the first time. I remember it was a few years back at the NRA convention, and you were there, and I still remember to this day that you walked up to our booth and you introduced yourself, and I looked down at your badge and it said Facebook on it, and I was like, what? Does he know where he is? And I was like, I was looking for black eyes or a hidden camera too, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, because you always wondered to yourself, you know, like, are they going to come in and try and trap me with some gotcha question? They're going to get it on camera and air it all over the news. But I'm also thinking to myself, like, this guy hasn't gotten beaten up yet. He's not got a bloody lip. You know? I'm like, he's coming up here. And then I was like, oh, you're from Facebook, huh? And then we went into talking about how you're sort of known as the gun guy at Facebook, and you're working on this, you know, education of informing people in the Silicon Valley and other places as well about sort of getting the boogeyman out of their head. And it was really interesting, and you've been a great help since. But
yep.
I'll throw that out there to people though. I mean, Chuck, you're legit in your mission, and you are indeed for sure a United Second Amendment guy and gun guy for sure. And
I appreciate that. And then thank you for not punching me in the face when we met.
I was probably all mad about, you know, because I thought some post we posted was really good and it didn't get enough likes. So it's Facebook's fault.
Your fault. You did it. You right
this
there.
This is you.
Yeah. I walk around SHOT. I've been, while I was at Facebook, I did a couple SHOT shows in the NRA meeting as a Facebook employee. And since then, I've gone as a NSSF kind of rep. I helped the NSSF National Shooting Sports Foundation, with you know, members that have problems like we've talked about, there for you. If you're an NSF member, or even if you're not, think of it as a benefit of membership that you have access to me. So I'll tell the people who are out there in the industry, and if they need help, please contact me at chuck@opensourcedefense.org, and I can see what I can do. No guarantees, but at least you have someone to talk to and give you some information, and maybe can escalate things internally still. Because you know, I do have contacts inside still, and there's still people inside who want to do the right thing. So there's always hope, but nothing's guaranteed.
Yep.
So
it's a Do you do that kind of thing too for like, let's say somebody's somewhat of an influencer, or someone just kind of a,
you know, they're not a lot like of those.
A brand, but you know, but they're kind of their own thing.
I was at SHOT Show. Like every time I go to SHOT Show, somebody runs up to me, like literally this last SHOT Show, there's the guy who was at SHOT. He was the Benghazi, one of the Benghazi Marines.
Okay. Okay.
And
Tonto.
Forget his
or,
name.
Or wait, no, I'm thinking of
Chris Pirano.
Yeah, maybe. There's a bunch of vets who did amazing things for their country and are heroes, and they are back, and they use their influence, which they should, as a positive force. And this guy was one of them. He gives talks, he goes around, he's inspirational, inspirational story, inspirational guy. And I see him, or someone said, you got to go talk to that guy. And I get there, and it's his first day of SHOT Show. I was like, yeah, they took down my Instagram. Right. And it's like, this is the most critical time. This guy needs his Instagram up now, because it's his time to really take advantage of this. So yeah, that happened first day of SHOT Show. 2 years ago, it was Springfield Armory. Got taken down. The Instagram page, couple hundred thousand likes.
Jeez.
I think it was somebody ran up to me and said, like, you know, oh, you got to go talk to the Springfield gal because their page is gone. I'm like, that's impossible. I look it up. Yeah, it's gone.
Wow.
First day of SHOT, right? So yeah, those things happen. And I'm glad I'm walking. You know, that's my gig. That's my spiel, is walk around SHOT Show, try not to get punched, tell people, you know, I can look at their, you know, what's your experience with Facebook and Instagram? Because I want to know what the landscape looks like. So it goes to affect change. And I tell people have good stories, people have bad stories. They have stuff I've mostly heard of, but sometimes I hear things like, oh, that's new. So it gives me something new to look at and pull apart. So that's where you can find me. So yeah, chuck@opensourcedefense.org, or look for me at SHOT or NRA if we ever have those meetings again.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
We'll find out.
There you go.
We'll find out. Yeah. Cool. Did you get Eric?
Nope, that's all. That's all I got, man. I appreciate it, Chuck. I mean, you've helped us out a bunch as a business, and obviously, this conversation is fascinating. So, I think people are really going to enjoy listening in on this, and you know, hopefully, take some good tips.
It's nice talking to somebody who understands computers and technology and stuff. And their first question is, "Did you turn it off and turn it on again?"
Yep.
That's what I did to get this thing working. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
No, man. I was just going to say the same thing. Super, super insightful conversation and topic. We appreciate all the help over the years, and just all of your help, you know, educating and fighting the good fight. So I mean, it's a big deal, and to have you where you are and be able to reach the people who you're able to reach, that's just a really big deal. So thanks. Yeah.
Right on. And I want to thank you guys. You know, I've been shooting competition for years. I'm not a hunter at all, not my bag, but I compete a lot, and I've been doing it for 30 years. I want to thank you for, I have not been to a match where I did not see Vortex represented in some way, big ways, little ways. You guys are phenomenal for supporting the shooting sports, all the three gun stuff I do. Not that it's a lot, but it's enough where I see it, and I really appreciate it. Love your products. I use them all the time. And I love that you're basically breaking out of the stodgy gun company mold and doing more dynamic things like a podcast or interesting Instagram, or you know, you guys are in the best position, or one of the companies in the best positions to start going after this new market of new gun owners. If anybody can do it, you can. So appreciate all you guys do. Thank you, and keep it up.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck.
And then, as usual, for those out there listening, too, we'll just throw out there, thanks for listening. And you can check us out on Instagram, you know, and all those other places. Hit us up at Vortex Nation Podcast. Shoot us a DM. Also talk to Chuck if you have, you know, any questions about this kind of stuff. So, yeah. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. That'll wrap it up for this episode of the Vortex Nation Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hit that subscribe button so you can always stay up to date on the latest happenings over here at the Vortex Nation Podcast. Leave us a review or comment down below. We want to hear what you have to say about the show, maybe what you like, maybe what you didn't like, so that way we can make these podcasts as good as they can be. You can also follow us on Instagram @VortexNationPodcast. We'll be posting about each episode released So that way you can go back, find these things, maybe grab a little nugget of information that you could take with you to the range, out in the field, or maybe to the kitchen if we're talking about some good food. So again, everybody, thanks, and happy hunting and shooting. We appreciate it. Have a good one.